numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander on a Football Friday. Coming up this hour, Steve Fezzik in studio. By the way, Steve makes a great point before he even gets here, which is when we're going through those percentages of submitted survivor pools, that even though the Jets are 16 or 17% right now, that's the only one submitted before the Thursday game. So as the other survivor entries come in before Sunday, of course, inevitably, that percentage will fall. So maybe my guess of around 10% was more accurate. So that's a good point. Fezzik will be here. Dr. Bob in the cleanup spot. Dr. Bob, who famously said about him being in the cleanup spot, that's great, Gil. Now everybody will have to anticipate me the most, or something like that. And Chris Valika standing by. A few tweets before we get to Chris. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Bees Bets. What do you guys think about Shoemaker's decision? This is the Marlins manager, Skip Shoemaker, during the game yesterday not to walk Shohei. Also his comments during and after the game. Stand up dude for sure in my eyes. I agree, Bees Bets. I mean, I thought that's the right. He's like, he wanted to respect the game, he said. He wasn't going to walk Shohei in a blowout game. So I think it was absolutely the proper thing to do. I think it's only a discussion had he done the opposite, right? Had he just punted on going after Shohei in that moment. That would have been the awkward thing to do. This is from The Real Joby. Great talk about the new batch of commercials earlier today. Perhaps we can get a weekly segment with the legendary matriarch of the Jardian cinematic universe with her analysis. Now, what kind of show would have the Jardians girl on? That's what I ask. What kind of show? And then finally, this is Pick 101323, who said, please don't, with Jason, I think I succeeded here. He said, you said, please don't bring up Skeens Merrill. I don't want to hear this guy cry. Okay. Well, I didn't. So I hope you enjoyed this segment. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the Bear. That's what he's known as. But his real given name by his mother and father is Chris Valika, Christopher Valika. He became the Bear as an adult. He now works at Fox Sports. You can see him on Big Noon Saturdays at Fox Sports and College Football. And of course, he's got the Bear Bets Pods, an empire, football and college football, which he does with Will Hill, Sammy P, and others. Jeff Schwartz in there as well. It's Chris Valika, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Chris, how you doing, man?
We can thank Lee Corso for the nickname. I appreciate it. I always get it to Mr. Corso for giving me the nickname. You can't give yourself a nickname. So
could you retell that story real quick? What Corso said to you and why?
So basically, it was long. The end of the story basically is Corso took a look at me in a hotel lobby. Kirk and I were having brunch one morning, like gym shorts, t-shirt, and just kind of looking frazzled because we'd just gotten up. And Coach came in off from his morning walk and stopped at our table and looked at me, looked at Kirk, looked at the table, and looked at me, and just said, look at you, Valika, you're like a big bear. All you do is sleep, and I'm not going to say that curse word again. Tried to trap me into saying a curse word 2 weeks in a row.
That's what I did. It's me trapping you. Yeah. But if people know, like, you get this look in your eyes when the food is in front of you. So I totally get why he went with that.
Anyone who has seen Kirk and I out in the past, like, know that, like, any dead space on the table where there's not like some type of appetizer or something is just wasted space.
Yeah.
That's how we roll.
Listen, I wasn't going to bring this up, but I don't know if you know this, but the great Shohei Ohtani went 50-50 last night. In fact, 51-51.
He did.
With maybe the greatest single game performance in the history of baseball. 3 home runs, 10 RBI, 2 stolen bases. Just the 3 homers and 2 stolen bases alone hadn't happened in more than a century. And last week you came on here and you famously tried to stump for Francisco Lindor for MVP.
I did.
Will you now back down from this?
I stumped for Francisco Lindor so much he herniated a disc in his back and probably got a Toradol and horse tranquilizer dose about the size of a 12-ounce water bottle to try and play the last 10 days of the season. No, I haven't said all along. He's probably going to win, but what this does now do, and it's right. He every year he is healthy and plays a full season that he hits and pitches, he should be the MVP.
Yep.
And you cannot make the price short enough on him next year. No.
We may have
and pitch again. Everybody should bet him preseason to win MVP because that's the that's where we're going to be. But I wasn't sure if that tweet was headed towards me or Jason with the whole Skeens Merrill.
Oh, I don't know.
That is one where I put those numbers out there early about like the Capron time, the ERA and the WHIP and everything, and how like Skeens' numbers are Cy Young level, not just Rookie of the Year. And that was almost as much of a curse word as me suggesting that Lindor should get more votes for MVP than anything.
Hey, Chris, do me a favor. Your audio surprise, a little janky. Yep. So we're going to call you back. We'll take you off for 10 seconds and we'll call you back. In the meantime, guys, if we could show those September stats for Major League Baseball and also MLB best record, that would be good. September again, where the Mets, for those who have a bet in this kind of market, the Mets are just rolling through it. The New York Metropolitans 13-4 with a plus. That's not updated. That's from yesterday. But 13-4. There you go. Plus 49 run differential. Followed by the Guardians 12-6. Everybody has either 9 or 8 games left. Most have 9 left. Tigers 11-5. Phillies 11-6. And then you see the Padres, Yankees, and Reds with 10. Our pick of the Diamondbacks here not on the screen. They're in 10th place right now at 9-8. So they got work to do. And then for MLB best record real quick, Phillies and Dodgers now in a dead heat, 91-62, but the top six teams are only 4 games apart with the Padres in the sixth spot at 87-66, in case you're in that market. Felica's back. Chris Felica, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. All right, let's get right into it. Football, real quick, week 3, what do you have? What do you like?
I was listening to you earlier, and I kind of discovered the same thing. Like, I didn't like a ton of sides this week at all. I played Jacksonville Buffalo over 45.5. I think that Bills defense obviously still has a ton of issues. I'm going to give the Jags offense one last chance to put up 24, 28 and something like this. And it still looks like the Bills' best play is Josh Allen running around and creating. But over 45.5 seems like a number that they should be able to reach there. I played under 46. In Houston, Minnesota. I love both of these defenses. You know, Brian Flores is going to draw something up against C.J. Stroud. And at the same time, the Texans defense plays kind of in the mold of their head coach, Brian Flores. So that's going to be a test for Sam Darnold as well. So the two totals there. The side that I like, I played Kansas City -3.5 at Atlanta. That game Monday night was more about the Eagles losing than the Falcons winning. I know the Chiefs don't have Pacheco. But at the same time, I think in a primetime game like this, they can rely on that pass rush to get to cover. That was the biggest issue Monday night, is that the Eagles pass rush is kind of non-existent. If they can get pass rush after Cousins, I think that will help them. So those were the three things I played in the NFL. And by the way, can I add another candidate for you? Are we sure?
Sure.
Are we sure the Houston Texans are not the best team in the AFC and maybe all of the NFL?
Kelly is not. He is definitely not sure. He keeps saying it. He just doesn't have the willpower yet to make them number one in his power rankings, but he's sure thinking it. Sure thinking it. Kansas City, by the way, 3-point favorites now on the road against the Falcons on Sunday Night Football. 3 and even 3 with just slightly extra juice on that. All right, college football, the floor is yours. The floor is yours. 3 minutes of college football. What do you got?
Yeah, kind of the same thing. My favorite play this week was Tennessee, Oklahoma under 57.5. I think everyone's going to look at gaudy numbers put up against Chattanooga and Kent State by the Vols. This is still a conference road game. And we saw last week how Georgia went on the road in conference play. Struggled against a Kentucky team that was embarrassed the week before. Oklahoma is an offense that I think is, 116th in the country in yards per play. They are going to struggle to move the ball against a really good Tennessee front. I think, obviously, if Tennessee gets a chance to run it up on Oklahoma, they will because of the Josh Heupel history there. But I don't see Tennessee having an easy time against Brent Venables' defense. A guy can still coach defense, so under 57.5, Tennessee, Oklahoma, under 19.5, Michigan team total against USC with Alex Orji at quarterback. It's pretty obvious what Michigan's game plan is going to be. Just kind of run him around, control the clock, time of possession, keep the USC offense off the field. And going to kind of be the same thing we saw against Texas, where they just fell behind so early that they really weren't able to stick in that game plan. But under 19.5, Michigan team total against a much improved USC defense. I played Rice +7 against Army in kind of a stink bomb game of the week. Rice has been really disappointing. EJ Warner's been a turnover machine. I think they, if they can avoid some turnovers here, they can hang around getting a full touchdown against Army. And then we're going to welcome Louisville to the 2024 college football season. Played over 34 and a half against Georgia, team total against Georgia Tech. I know the Irish have Notre Dame next week, and it could be a little bit of a look ahead, but 111-14, they beat Austin Peay and Jacksonville State. They got a deep backfield, Tyler Shuck, the quarterback there, used to play at Oregon. And I think if you look at what the Georgia Tech defense allowed when they went on the road against Syracuse a couple of weeks back, 31 points, could have been more, 515 yards, I think it was over 6 yards of play. So a Georgia Tech defense that we thought might have been so great against Florida State in the opener, I think that was kind of a head fake there with now what we know about Florida State. It's a Louisville team total over 34 and a half.
Welcome, Louisville. Welcome to college football. Top five power ranked teams per the Bear on the way out are?
In college football?
Yes, sir.
I will say Ohio State, Georgia, Oklahoma. No, I'm sorry, Ohio State, Georgia. I'm not Oklahoma, Texas, Tennessee, Miami. I have a schedule looking in front of me. I'm losing my train of thought.
Miami. Homer.
Have to be.
Miami.
What they've done so far, they've blown everybody else.
I hear you. The U, total student body, 19,000 plus we learned this week, Chris. Smaller than most people
very,
think.
Very, very, very small, very small private school, exactly.
Gotta run. Thank you, Chris. Fezzik on the other side on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Secret barbecue. Take your betting to the next level by playing the ponies on First Bet. Not now, Steve. It's coming up. From Santa Anita and Gulfstream Park to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness, First Bet has you covered. Sign up at firstbet.com. Firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Skill Alexander, Steve Fezzik standing by. A couple tweets first, though. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Last Name Nash. I'm sorry, but pickleball is for people who are too lazy to play a real court sport like tennis. Willing to die on this hill with you, Gilly. Thank you. Last Name Nash. I feel very strongly about this subject as they keep destroying tennis courts and putting in pickleball courts everywhere. That was it. Judd O'Connor. Dr. Bob gave out a wazoo 2 weeks ago, praying for another easy winner this Saturday. I believe that Dr. Bob is undefeated on A Numbers Game this year. Even Pitt came back with the miraculous Eli Holstein comeback this past week. So I think Bob is, at least on the show, I know he's not in real life, but on this show, it's magic, and I don't think he's missed a play yet. We'll confirm that. So Wazoo was easy peasy. There's another tweet here that I want to find here as I bring in, ladies and gentlemen, the great Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton, Super Contest back in the day. Still the 21st century when he won it. No jokes from everybody. I know some people are like, hey, wasn't that around the 20th century? No, still this century. Steve joins us now, not courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, but in studio. How you doing, man?
So already one interruption. The great Todd Wishnev would be proud.
We got a tweet. You have to tell me if this is, I know we have a lot to talk about, but we got a tweet from Keith Kingston. And you have to tell me if this is true or not. He says that the Stardust Invitational, early 2000s, Fezzik went in disguise. Is this a true story?
True story.
Wearing a Vikings jersey, who were at San Diego that week. The Vikings were like 8-0, he says. San Diego was 0-8, catching 5. Fezzik said, you like the Vikings? And then he rips off his shirt, throws it into the Stardust crowd watching, and says, you can have them. I'm going San Diego, gives his reasoning. San Diego not only covered, they won outright. Is that true?
Yeah, so yeah, that Stardust invitation was a whole lot of fun. Mark Lawrence defeated me in one of the finals. I was a two-time finalist, zero-time champion.
Oh.
But this shows the vagaries of the industry. It's like 2004, all right? And I go 1-5-1, and I'm like immediately annihilated on, you know, social media. But Ed Sammons, very sharp handicapper at the Westgate still, mm-hmm. went 1-6. So I actually survive and advance the very next week.
Yeah.
7-0, the only guy to do it other than Kevin O'Neill, who had done it before me. And so I never get to play that next week, if not for the Ed Sammons collapse that week.
Ed Sammons, we didn't mean to bring you up in that context, but there it is.
Ed Sammons is very respected throughout the industry.
Yes, so, absolutely. So, yes. By the way, we have the Matt Eumanns Invitational here, the Friday Football Invitational. You haven't been following the standings there at all, have you?
I've been too busy to pay any attention. So I think that's available at VSiN if you want to follow who might be ahead.
Are you in first by any chance?
Coincidentally, yes. We're only one eighth of the way in.
It's
early, though.
It's hella early, as the kids say.
Yes.
Okay. There's a couple of things. First of all, thank you for that note about the Jets survivor thing. You're absolutely right. If the percentage offshore as a gauge is 16% right now, that's obviously only the entries that have come in before Thursday. And as the rest of the balance of the entries, which is going to be a majority of them, come in before Sunday, that percentage is going to reduce. I want to bring this up with you because you famously said this week you think survivor might not go the distance this year.
Yes, because basically my pricing is really simplistic, that I say every 2 weeks we lose half the field. Okay, if you have a 70% chance of winning each and every week, obviously a 49% chance to win back to back weeks. So that would project that there would be maybe around 5 survivors. All right. However, I think that is wildly optimistic. Mm. Given my power ratings, there's more parity in the NFL than there has ever been. The best team in the NFL right now, Kansas City Chiefs, 49ers, so whoever you want to put, they're like 5 points better than an average team. Most years, I have teams that are like 7 or 7.5 points better. So there's nobody who's really separated themselves. So it's going to be very difficult to find 70% plays on average each and every week.
That's interesting. So this does not refute what you were saying. I put together this little thing. I ran into Derek at the end of the show yesterday. And so this is just because this is through 2 weeks, it's the biggest percentage ever knocked out through, in this early stage of the season. But by number, right, because it's 14,266 entries, what you'll see in this graphic here is the percentage of entries knocked out in each of the first two weeks of the 5 years of Survivor. And then to the right of that in parentheses are the number of entries that are left. So even though if you go to the bottom here, even though after week two, 72.8% the record through 2 weeks of 2024 Circus Survivors are out, Circus Survivor entries are out, it still means that there are more entries singularly left, at least right now, than there ever have been. Now, we'll see if it gets below the 29.17 from 2021 after week three, or the 24.79 that were after week three, that were left after week three last year. But they're still, and all of these previous ones have gotten to the end, right? They never ended beforehand in various forms. Sometimes it's 5 people, sometimes the first year it was like 35 people got to the end. But I don't know, from a sheer entry standpoint, if history is any indication, I understand what you're saying, because that would be a difference. But if history is any indication, we probably do get to the end.
Yeah, I still project we get to the end, and we have a few
but just
winners.
With 5.
But what's critical, obviously, is for me to be right that there's only going to be a few winners. I'm going to need one of the biggest favorites to go down.
Yes,
and that will wreak havoc later in the year, especially the Christmas and the Thanksgiving weeks. That if you get if Dallas loses to the Giants, whammo, there goes 3/4 of the remainders.
Whammo. What game show was that? Whammo?
I think it was a Powerball.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure.
Some game show. Whammo. Okay, like last week. So last week you came in here and you gave, that was before week two, you gave a pick for week three. And you were ahead of the line. Remember the game?
Vikings +4.
That's right.
Reduced VIG.
Yes.
So now the Vikings, Houston, everyone is debating, wait a minute, Houston's like a 1.5-2 point favorite. Who do we like? Do I have to pay you $40? No, because I gave it out last
week.
Right. There will be no fine, Will Hill.
No,
you just get, you just work on that bet more, win more podcast of yours. So we got the +4 in pocket that we disclosed last
week
on Vikings.
And now it's less than 3. Okay. You have a similar thing for week 4.
Yes. And so what's happening, the scuttlebutt this week, a lot of people following Jordan Love, Green Bay. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? He's not playing. It's a fugazi, people.
That's
we
right.
bet Tennessee. We're happy with Tennessee. That's a fine because the line's gone up. Okay. I still would like Tennessee -2.5. But the key here is that the fact that Love shows up at practice and is pretending to play makes it more likely he actually is going to play key division game next week. So forget week three. Forget Green Bay week three. Let's look to Green Bay week four, where we are going to go against the Vikings. Now we're going to take the Packers, huge home field at home, -2.5, and bonus play. We're going to play over 42.5. Oh. These are both available at DraftKings and at Bet Rivers as we speak right now. I've already bet substantially on this myself. I bet it over at the Westgate. And I would be I'd be shocked if Love didn't play week four. So we're going to get on this before the line goes up above 3, and we're going to lay 2.5 and over 42.5.
That's the working assumption, that Jordan Love will be playing next week. And if Jordan Love doesn't play next week, then all this is
then I have
terrible
bad bets,
advice.
But I believe 90% Love will play.
Okay.
90%.
And yeah, it was never really going to happen this week either.
Exactly. And I'm the guy that was screaming. Literally, I was doing a live show and money started. I really think and this happens to me in the NBA, where I'm not living and breathing it. And I see, oh, LeBron James has been upgraded to questionable. And quick, bet the Lakers. That's what happened with the odds screens. And I was like, this is a fugazi. He's not playing, you know, and yet all these money, the B-bettors are betting +2.5 on Green Bay this week against Tennessee when they could be getting 3 at post.
What is your Circa Millions record right now?
I have 5 entries, and the best one's 5-4-1. I think the worst one is 3-7.
Oh, a slow start.
Impossible to do well in Circa Millions. I think the consensus is 1-9. So if you play good numbers, you are not going to be doing well. By contrast, in the Westgate contest, I've got a couple entries 7-3, most of them 6-4. And why have I done better? Just because the way that they've shaded their numbers has been much more favorable to a guy like me that won't play a bad number in a contest.
And we said this last week that your strategy of the way that you play, and again, for those who missed it, Steve is really looking to play you're always looking to get the best of the number, not only in real life, but in these contests. And you play it in a way that has more often than not gotten you to be very competitive. He won 2, obviously. But last year you finished a dismal 24th, was it?
21st,
even worse.
Faded
last year.
Miserably down the stretch, picking 50% the final 4 weeks.
But it doesn't always work, right? There are some years where the best of it, number-wise, doesn't manifest.
Absolutely.
They have
100%.
To do their job, too. So when we come back, more with Fezzik, including why he feels so strongly about the Chargers this week. Get his entire dissertation on this. On the other side, Steve Fezzik on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game on a football Friday where sports betting lives. Gil Alexander live from Circa Sports Resort Casino. Say resort / casino. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. X_spurt. That guy says, Mr. Fezzik looks harmless on video. I sense that is possibly a mistaken first impression. Here's the thing with Stevie. He is harmless, except if he senses an edge he needs to exploit anywhere on planet Earth, he cannot physically restrain himself. Is that a good description of you?
And just to double down on that,
yes.
If I feel I've been wronged
by
a sports book,
they
are in my crosshairs, and I will do anything imaginable to get blood out of a turnip.
He's a hellish,
to crush that book.
Hellish human being at that point. 3Jack H3131. Gil, wait, you said Bob's not undefeated in real life? So it's the show being run in a parallel fake life universe? Is that why Paul Sporer went 57-1 on the show, but hardly anyone knew it? Now I have to listen to Fezzik. Too much for a Friday. Yes, we had Sporer on the other day. And Kelly and I were both, this is last week we had Sporer on, and people were tweeting wow, Sporer was 6-0 on the show. And Kelly and I were were we here? When did this happen?
I feel bad. All Sporer does is win, but he gives out so many soccer plays. I'm so lazy. I don't know what league these teams play in, so I don't even bother betting them because I have to navigate through, I'm in the wrong league.
You mean Paul Carr, wrong Paul.
Oh,
you're talking about.
Even
talking
worse.
About baseball Sporer.
Even worse.
David Newell, if we're talking about who... If we're talking about who was on Shohei first, I pulled a bird move and drafted him for $1 with my last pick in my fantasy league when he was still in Japan. That is a total Red Auerbach drafting Larry Bird maneuver a year in advance. Good job, David Newell. You win. Keno Walker, Since Kelly brought up the commercial conversation, the Bill 80 commercial has to be top 10. Love it. He's referring, Kino is, to the Bill 80, what's Brent's words? Bill's late nights become your mornings, that kind of thing.
Then and only then can the writing begin.
Where Kelly overacts, he nods like really, it's a great commercial. And finally, Doug Boyle, our survivor pool, which is run by one of your VEASAN staff. Is somebody here running a rogue survivor pool? Has already ended. Started with 46, and after this past week, it was down to two players who decided to cut the pot. Really? They cut a 46-player pot? We already started Survivor 2 with 42 players. Crazy season. There you go. Okay. Before we get to your Chargers dissertation here, why you like them so much this week, and maybe, and by the way, maybe I don't know. Maybe it's a teaser leg. Is it a teaser or a side?
It's the teaser
leg. Okay, it's the teaser leg. We'll get to that. But you, Steve makes outlandish comments. He comes on the show, and it's like he invented the question mark, to quote the old Austin Powers line. But you take credit for saying pre-flop first, which I've been saying for years, but you're taking credit for, you said it pre-flop.
I've been saying it for decades.
Decades wins. I have not been saying it for decades. So pre-flop as applied to sports betting. Obviously, it's a poker term. But you want to now go on record and coin another phrase.
Yeah, so we're all familiar with CMOs, collateralized mortgage options.
I don't think we all are, but some are.
Go
yes.
See The Big Short. Fantastic movie talking about that.
Great book, great movie.
So CSOs, collateralized survivor options.
Explain.
So everyone who's still alive in Circus Survivor has right now a entry that's worth about $3,700, all right? And so they quantify the value. And of course, some are worth a little bit more or a little bit less, depending upon whether you've got a good path or a bad path, etc. But as we go deeper and deeper, they become worth $10,000, $50,000. And so we start swapping. So one of the best ways to, if you have a survivor and it's all your own, let's say Gilly has a survivor and I have a survivor, it's like, I'll do a swap. I'll give you 10% of mine. You give me 10% of yours. Mm-hmm. And then we start selling shares of them. These are CSO options. And then people sell options on the options. I get options. I sell them to Bill. Bill Crackman sells them to me. And it's like this big short where all these different like CMOs, CSOs are being traded back and forth. And you just lose track of what the liabilities and the assets are.
What's the fine? If I hear anybody else say collateralized survivor options, which, by the way, I don't know if that's going to catch on, Stevie, to be honest with you. But if I do hear it, what's the fine?
So we're going to stop with the fines and we're going to go with royalties.
Oh, okay.
So what we're looking for is royalties.
Okay.
Moving forward.
Smart. All right. Chargers teaser leg. Why do you love it so?
All right. So it checks all the boxes. So you've got the Wong teaser. That's where we take a plus two, plus or minus a half. So plus one half, a plus two, a plus two and a half. We take a plus one half up to plus seven half. We already like that. All right. By the way, you're going to play a 6-point teaser. You got to be playing at minus 120. Can't be laying more than that in Vegas. The teasers are donezo. Every single book now charges more than minus 120. So you have to play it at places like DraftKings or Bookmaker, a place like that that still has the good pricing. Here's why I really like it. I love the West Coast team that has the Kumbaya trip back east. So the Niners famously have done this several times. They one time they I think they spent a week at the Greenbrier in West Virginia.
Yes.
They spent a week in Ohio where they just pounded the two Ohio teams. And it just seems to make so much sense that to avoid all the distractions and just have that week. Now you don't have the excessive travel and everyone can focus in North Carolina and then go to Pittsburgh. So because of that, it's very rare that a team would lay an egg in that situation. Further, I really like the low total being right around 36. And so because of that, I expect a lower scoring game. And I love the way the Steelers are winning, not with offense, run the ball, play really good defense. They get a touchdown. That should be sufficient, not necessary to win the game. So bottom line is, I don't know who's going to win this game. I don't love the Chargers, but I love the final score in this game to be 20-17.
Yeah.
And who cares who wins? Let's tease the Chargers.
Steelers 2-0 with one touchdown, to your point. Okay, totally understand all of that, but you need a dance partner for a teaser leg. Who
now,
might
there's
that be
the
with?
Rub, isn't it?
Yes.
Now? So, yeah. And you know, I'm going to use the Bengals for my survivor, more than likely, my sole survivor. And
how many did you start with?
Seven. So maybe, man, I'm not the guy to be asking about that. Yeah. So why not just shove all my chips in with the Bengals? But the nice thing about that is because the Bengals game is Monday night, so you can earn off of it. So you could put the Bengals in at your second leg, and then right before kickoff, assuming the Chargers don't charger me. But you know, when Chargers charger, they oftentimes, I know they lost by 40 to the Raiders, but the Chargers, used to lose a lot of close games, maybe not so much with Harbaugh, but as long as you get the first leg of the teaser in, now similar to these CSOs, we can just earn off of it, because then we can play some Washington plus 7.5 and we can go ahead and play a little money line with Washington and lock in a profit.
And in those situations where one of the teaser legs is hit and you then can make a decision, what percentage of time do you actually manipulate?
It depends what my numbers say. Yeah. So I actually only make the Bengals a 7-point favorite, but my gut says no way Burrow and company are going 0-3.
Mine too.
They're going to find a way to win. Washington can't score touchdowns. And so because of that, it's a rare case where I like the Bengal teaser, but I actually would look towards Washington plus 7.5 or more.
Let me ask you this another way. What Wong teaser leg scares you this week?
Oh, wow. You know, I got to be honest. All of the Wongs scare me, and here's why. Back when, and some people still, there are still minus 110 pricing out there. Your edge is razor thin, minus 120. If you play every Wong teaser, and by the way, I've been hearing more and more people misquoting Wong teaser. A 7-point favorite is not a Wong teaser. It has to be a 7.5-point favorite.
Right.
A 6.5-point favorite is absolutely not a Wong teaser, and a road favorite is not a Wong teaser ever. All right.
Ever.
It has to be a home favorite. It has to be -7.5 to -8.5. But because of the razor thin edge that you have at -120, they all scare me. And frankly, it was a huge part of my portfolio when I could lay -110 on teasers. Now it's a very minor part of my portfolio because of that.
Because again, the higher the juice, the more your break even percentage. The higher your break even percentage is, so it just
you're
gets
actually
more and more
laying
difficult.
Yeah. On each leg -280. So like, let's say you teased the Jets last night. Congratulations, you won, but you actually lost, and here's why: because if you played a 6-point teaser on the Jets -280. Are you -120? You really bet, if you bet $2,800 on the Jets, let's assume that was what your bet was, you just won $1,000. And you're like, well, wait, Steve, I don't know if I won or lost. It waits for my second leg. No, it really doesn't. You really have collateralized a $1,000 win, and now you're risking $3,800 on the next leg on whoever you chose. So where I'm going is you could have just played the money line at less than -280, an equivalent bet. Jets had to win and made more money.
I'm sorry. I didn't warn you there was going to be math.
Danger.
Sorry.
Danger, Will Robinson, math.
Before you go, and we always love your appearances here, before you go, are you willing to share a side that you love above all this week?
You know, I just went through all my numbers, and there's only one that my numbers disagree with. So I like the Eagles. It's trending to 3.
Ooh.
So obviously, let's get 3. Might have to lay $1.20 and grade me +3, -120. This is the one game. Look at the season wins for both these teams. I know A.J. Brown is injured, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But Philly is 1-1. New Orleans is 2-0. And everyone's like, well, New Orleans is better than Philly. But the market doesn't believe that, because the season win number, you can bet this today, Philly is 10.75, meaning 10.5 juice to the over. New Orleans is 10.5 juice to the under. So the market is emphatically saying Philly is not just better, but they're significantly better than New Orleans. Now, maybe without their number one wide receiver, maybe the teams are almost equal, but it would still point to Philly being the better team catching 3. I know it's a huge home field in New Orleans, and that's a concern, but catching 3 in a good bounce back spot with everyone second guessing your coaching staff, I have to take Philly.
We'll work on your pronunciation of New Orleans. But other than that, I understand everything you're saying. Well, so there it is. So Philadelphia, the one side that you love. And really, beyond that, you don't love anything.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way in terms of just the overall scope. Steve Fezzik, everybody, at Fezzik Sports on Twitter. Try not to judge him for how he acts on Twitter. Thank you, sir, as always.
That's Voldemort. That's Voldemort Fezzik.
That's a different person. Steve Fezzik on the show. Dr. Bob on the other side with his college football plays. Undefeated on the show. Next.
The Sports Betting Network.
Hey, don't forget, at the top of the hour, right after a numbers game, Money Moves. Pardon me, that's Money Moves with Patrick Maher today, filling in for Stormy. Patrick and Mike Somich. Maher, Somich, good show. Noon Eastern, noon to 2. Money Moves today. Again, Patrick Maher and Mike Somich. Then stick around for Prop Points with John Hansen at 2 p.m. He's on for an hour, and then Make It Rain with Adam Schein, 3 p.m. Eastern. That's before Follow the Money right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. Real quick, just a couple more tweets here before we get to Bobby. This is from Screaming A. Smith at Lance Man Crush. He says, watching live right now while visiting my daughter and grandchild in Napoli, Italy. Ah, Naples. Napoli. love the show in capitals. Thank you. And appreciate that you took us with you to Italy. And then Spence says, I'm tailing Steve's bets this week and will now refer to the home of the next Super Bowl as New Orleans. Yes, you don't have to pronounce it correct to tail his bets. Always a pleasure to have him on, and is always a pleasure to have this gentleman on, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is undefeated on this show this year. He is a cool 5-0 on the show. But if you want to go beyond just the 5-0, he is 111-79-2 all time on football plays here on A Numbers Game. It is the great Dr. Bob, everybody, at drbobsports.com and at drbobsports on Twitter. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good. You know, the Gil good luck factor is back. I had a losing week last week. It was my first losing week, and I was 2-0 on the games I gave on your show. So the luck is back, and I'm happy to be on.
It is magic. I appreciate it. We all appreciate it. Before we get to your college football plays, and you have a couple coming up, you are in two survivor pools, I believe, or you have two entries in one. I'm not sure. What did you end up picking this week?
Yeah, I used the Jets last night and won. In that particular pool, I had New Orleans week one and Seattle week two. And in the other one, I had Seattle week one and the Chargers last week. And in that one, I was tossed up between Tampa Bay and Cleveland. So far, I've got Tampa Bay in. I could still change it, actually. But I'm also considering Cleveland. So I think those would be my choices for Sunday.
I am torn between Cleveland and Cincinnati. And again, I'll just, for the last time this week, I'll tell you my thinking. Cleveland is the right pick because it's probably the most natural place to play Cleveland, in the same way that New Orleans was the most natural place to play New Orleans was against Carolina week one. But Cincinnati makes me feel more confident. You like Cleveland better. Oh, no, you said you could buy that.
No, I could buy it. It's just that Cincinnati has a tendency to let up against bad teams. Especially, it's just they're pretty good off a loss, though, and they did lose. But last week was a huge emotional game for them against Kansas City. And, they have an extra day to kind of get together. But Cincinnati is just one of those teams that just the better the opponent, the better they play. So it just made me a little bit wary. And there'll be other chances to play Cincinnati. So I think you're right that Cleveland is probably, and I'm going to revisit it because there's no other spot to really play Cleveland. I'm going to look between Cleveland and Tampa.
All right. Two things, Bob. First of all, not the Megapod. Okay. Secondly, let's go to college football. Ole Miss. Love when you have a Lane Kiffin bet. Because, as we know, this man has no morals and no ethics when it comes to running up the score. You are on Ole Miss laying a heavy amount of wood in this game?
Yeah, I don't think I've lost laying big numbers with Lane Kiffin at Mississippi. It's the Lane Kiffin trend. They're 3-0 against the number. They're beating teams by an average of 53 points. Nothing fluky about that. They're averaging nearly 700 yards of offense a game. And the stats would project a 54-point scoring margin. So there's nothing fluky about their 3-0 spread start. Georgia Southern's 3-0 against the spread, but there's a major difference because they should be probably 0-3 against the spread. They've beaten teams by an average of 6.7 points, barely cover the spread in all three games they've played. But they were outgained by, 100 and nearly 200 yards against for the season so far, 128 yards on average. They were destroyed by Boise State and managed to cover the spread in that one somehow. They were outgained against Nevada and somehow managed to win that game. They outgained by nearly 200 yards in that game and somehow managed to win that game. And they shouldn't have covered the spread in their other game either. They've been lucky to cover the spread in all three of their games so far. And they're giving up, their defense is horrible. They're giving up a ton of yards, 7.1 yards per play to teams that would normally average 5.1 yards per play against an average team. And now they're facing maybe the best offense, one of the two or three best offenses in the nation. I just think Mississippi could score on every single possession if they wanted to. Georgia Southern is the worst defense they've faced other than the FCS team they played in. And there's an argument that Georgia Southern is worse than that team. What I like here is that my preseason ratings, my priors would have favored Mississippi by 35.3 points. So I think the line, the very least, is fair. I think Mississippi is better than my prior, and because their defense has been so much better. And I think Georgia Southern has been worse than my prior. And if you use this year's games only, I get the Rebels by 51 points on the math. And I think the line should be around 44 points right now. You got one team that's over, that's 3-0 and deserves it. One team that's 0-3 against the spread and doesn't deserve it. And Lane Kiffin, you know, just likes to run up the score. He's 13-5 against the number laying 13 or more. 5-1 against the number of non-conference games favored by 30 or more, winning those games by an average of 53 points while laying an average of 39. So he doesn't mind running it up, and I think the spread should be higher. So I think Mississippi minus 37 or better, but you can get 35 right now.
Okay. Laying 35 is what I'm seeing. So what was the number again? What are the parameters? What did you say? Up till?
Up to 37.
Up to 37 on Ole Miss. Take it on Georgia Southern. Now, this one is much more tightly lined. It's the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs by 3 over Tulsa, and you like the favorite here.
Yeah, I had Louisiana Tech as a 3-star win total bet before the season. I think I gave that one out on the show, actually. The big change at Louisiana Tech was getting a defensive coordinator named Jeremiah Johnson, who came over from Northern Iowa. His defenses at Northern Iowa have consistently been among the best at the FCS level and usually rate as better than an average FBS defense after adjusting for opponents. That 3-3-5 defensive scheme is really good at defending the run, and his teams have been better than an average FBS team defending the run in all 16 years he's been a defensive coordinator, including last year, giving up just 4.0 yards per play at Northern Iowa to teams that would average 4.8 if they were facing an average FBS school. The thing that makes this interesting is Johnson actually went to Kent State for a year. He left Northern Iowa to go to Kent State, and Kent State's always been horrible in run defense, but the year he was there, they were actually better than average on a national scale, while Northern Iowa slipped to being more than 1 yard per play worse the year he was not there. Kent State's coaching staff got fired. Johnson went back to Northern Iowa. Their defense improved by nearly a yard per play after he came back, and Kent State's defense went back to being horrible again. So this guy does make a difference. Now, this year, he's at Louisiana Tech, and the run defense there is very good. They've just allowed 3.9 yards per rushing play in two games. They held ACC team NC State to 4.4 yards per rushing play last week. We're in that game the entire way, ended up losing by 10. But they averaged 6.1 yards per play and only gave up 5.3 yards per play to the Wolfpack. So they outplayed NC State last week, and I think they're still underrated. The one game that made me feel like, oh, they only beat Nicholls State by 8, but they dominated that game. They averaged 5.3 yards per play and allowed just 3.2 yards per play. They were minus 4 in turnovers, which is the only reason that game against Nicholls State was close. That's the same Nicholls State team. They outgained them by 2.1 yards per play. The next week, Nicholls State went to LSU, and LSU only outgained them by 0.9 yards per play. So they were relatively better against Nicholls than LSU was. I just think this Louisiana Tech team is underrated. They've got a good quarterback. Tulsa cannot stop the pass. They gave up 9.3 yards per pass play to Arkansas State and Oklahoma State. And I don't think they'll be able to run the ball, but I think Louisiana Tech's coaching staff is like, fine, we'll just throw the ball, which they'll be able to do in this game. My preseason ratings would have favored Louisiana Tech by 8, and I think it should be even more now. So minus 3, I'll take that. So Louisiana Tech minus 2 points against Tulsa.
All right. Ole Miss minus 35 in their game against Georgia Southern. Louisiana Tech minus 3 against Tulsa. Bob, appreciate it. PG-13 next time, okay? Appreciate it, though.
All right.
My man.
All right.
Dr. Bob, everybody, at Dr. Bob Sports. Note to self, have talk with all of our guests. It's become an epidemic with Valika and Dr. Bob in back-to-back weeks. Okay, those are your two college football plays from Bob. He is trying to go 7-0 on the show in this young season in college football thus far. Hope you got on the tennis play of Laura Siegemann. She is up a set and a break over Rebecca Masarova. So the tennis winners keep on coming in against subscribers. Every sport, college football, pro football, but also other sports like tennis and golf and everything else. All of those picks from every host, guest, and every sport at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. Check that out. And of course, the tennis play tonight is Deanna Schneider against Marta Kostyuk. That is the one remaining tennis play. I'll probably add some more tonight for subscribers as well. We've done all we can do on a Football Friday. Again, money moves coming up. Today, it's the great Patrick Maher in for Stormy. Stormy's got her football assignment, so she's got to travel. It is Patrick and Mike Somich. Good show on the way right after the break, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.